Welcome on into the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. I know it's been like 2 months since I've recorded, actually over 2 months, so I apologize for that. But now the season is back up and going. I'm not going to make any promises saying like I'll get an episode out every week or anything like that, but we're going to get back on getting these out a lot more often than every 2 weeks, or every 2 months, my bad. So the Jazz have now played in 2 games. So we're going to get into a little bit of a game recap on both those games. We'll talk about some of the common criticisms that are coming already, even though the season is they're only in the 2 games. May talk a little bit about, changing the roster up a little bit in the future, but that's just ideas that I have. Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. So the Jazz have played against the Sacramento Kings and against the Los Angeles Clippers. Against the Kings, they ended up losing by right around 20 points. I think it was 18 points. The Kings are fast. They're great on the offensive end. They have a lot of guys that can shoot, and if you leave them open, they really make life hard on you. And the Jazz's defense was getting confused. People were just not in the right spots, and it led to a lot of wide open shots. Harrison Barnes had 27 points going into the half, and he's a guy that's never scored 40 in a game, in his career. So having a 27 point half is huge. But he was the guy that, as the Jazz rotated, they would lose track and he would all of a sudden end up wide open. It happened with Kevin Huerter, with Malik Monk. It happened to a lot of guys throughout the night. The Jazz really struggled to make their reads on the defensive end. On the offensive end, the Jazz just didn't seem to have much energy. They weren't really getting after it. They kind of got stagnant. They had some really good stretches where things really looked good. Both John Collins and Jordan Clarkson looked really good in that game offensively. But overall, just not a great game. But it was one game. Couple nights later, the Jazz played against the Los Angeles Clippers, and they're going to play again tonight against the Phoenix Suns. It's a back-to-back, so we'll have to see how their energy levels are after playing the Clippers last night, and now they got to fly to Phoenix last night. I'm pretty sure the game's in Phoenix, and go up against the Suns. So we'll see how their energy is with all that. But anyway, last night's game was a lot better. The defense was communicating a lot better. The Jazz were rotating. They're getting to their spots. They're playing very good defense. Every now and then there was a little mishap, but that's to be expected. Even when you're in like playoff form, every now and then, there's going to be a miscommunication. People are not going to be where they're supposed to be. But for the most part, the Jazz did a really good job of rotating, moving their defense around, getting to the spots that they needed to be in. The Jazz did end up winning this one, 120 to 118. Now, again, they only won by 2 points. They had to win on a game winner, which Jordan Clarkson ended up making a three-pointer towards the end of the game, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But that's because this Clippers team is really good. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, when they're healthy and playing, they are almost unstoppable. It happened more often for Paul George, but it happened a few times with Kawhi Leonard where the defense was right on them. I mean, basically had a hand on the ball. Body was right next to him, perfect defense. You could not defend these shots better other than blocking the shot. And Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were just draining these threes. I mean, there's very few guys in the NBA that would even attempt these shots because they were so well guarded, and they are making it look like there was nobody on them. Those two are so insanely talented. They're both amazing defenders, had great defensive plays. The team around them needs some work. But those two are absolutely amazing. And hopefully they can stay healthy, because it would be nice to see what they could do with a full season healthy together, because they just haven't been since they came together. What was that, 3-4 summers ago? They just have not been healthy. They have not gotten to play much together. So now that they have the opportunity to, they are, man, they're incredible. So now, the thing that I wanted to talk about is, and I've talked about this before, but is fans getting way overzealous and overreacting to things way too early. Like I said, it's been 2 games. We're 2 games into the season. The NBA season is 82 games long. Like, they won't be done playing in the regular season until April. And people were already freaking out after the first loss to the Sacramento Kings. There was people questioning Will Hardy and his decision-making and his coaching staff. Just acting like this team cannot work together. It's annoying. That's what it is. Listen, the NBA season is a marathon. And the preseason is a lot shorter than what it used to be. Teams used to play like a full month of a preseason. Now it's 5 games for most teams. And star players sit out a lot of the preseason too. So there's not that on-court chemistry built yet for these teams. Whether you're a fan of the Jazz or any team in the league, give your team 20, 25 games to figure things out, to know where each other likes to be on the court, to get their communication down, to, you know, just get themselves comfortable, you know, with the idea of playing NBA basketball again. And like I said, the Jazz made some big adjustments in game 2. The defense looked a lot better, way better in game 2. There are people saying, you know, that this team could not defend and it wouldn't be able to defend the whole season after game 1. Well, the very next game, they figured it out a lot better. Now, again, throughout the season, they'll have nights where the defense looks bad, they're miscommunicating, they look, you know, like they're being rushed. That's going to happen. But, you know, watch each game, you know, enjoy it. I get frustrated with stuff. I celebrate when they do good, you know, big things, but I can, at the end of the game, I can look at it as, okay, that was 1 game. They did good things here. They did bad things here. They can make adjustments here. You know, the adjustment that they made from the last game looks good here, you know, but take each game as 1 game. That's what I'm basically trying to say here. Now, the reason I brought up Jordan Clarkson hitting that game winner was Jordan Clarkson, to me, is, I don't know how to say this, maybe like the biggest X factor for this Jazz team, where in game 1, he was really good. He was solid. He had 24 points, was moving the ball, was getting boards, was playing, you know, okay defense. In game 2, he could not hit shots. He was turning the ball over. He would get himself trapped as the ball handler. But he hit a game winner. So all that anybody's ever going to see about that game is that he hit that one game winner. And looking at each game as one game, you also need to look at it as the whole game. That's why I think Jordan Clarkson, even though I really like the guy, is probably not a part of the future plans for this Jazz team. Now, the contract that he signed this summer was a contract that is designed to be traded or is designed to be really team-friendly so that they can make moves around it. So Jordan Clarkson did what's called a renegotiate and extend. So last year he made right around $14 million, and the league allows you to do, I can't remember what the percentage is, like 140% or, anyway, you're allowed to have a big raise off of that number to extend further out into your deal. So he, for this season, is going to be making $23 million, which means for this season, you could trade him and basically take on somebody that makes really close to $30 million based off league rules. So if that's what they wanted to do, they wanted to find somebody that makes, you know, 23 to 20 or probably 28 million. They can send out Jordan Clarkson for that. One guy that I really like is Kyle Kuzma. I think the Jazz already have such a unique team that just does not fit traditional basketball roles and standards. You know, they play three bigs for the majority of the game. Why not have a guy like Kyle Kuzma play your shooting guard for little stints in the game, but for the majority of the game, he plays at the three. Anyway, that's just an idea that I had. But after this season, Jordan Clarkson will be making $13 million per year for the next 2 years, which I know sounds like a lot of money, and I'm going to get into that in just a second here. But that is currently 10% of the salary cap. The salary cap is right around $132 million. Next year, it'll probably be right around $140, $145 maybe. And it's just going to keep going up. So that 10% will then become 9% and probably 8% in the last year. So that's a very team-friendly deal. So you can keep him around and it won't really affect your ability to build the rest of the team around him. That renegotiate and extend that I brought up is what I believe that the Jazz are going to do with Larry Markkanen. I think that the Jazz are going to take the $18 million that Larry's supposed to make next year and give him a big raise on top of that, get him up to, I think he can get up to like right around 30. And then you would build the extension off of that. It would not be the same as Jordan's where it goes way down. So he wouldn't make like 30 and then drop down to like 16 the next year. It would be to get him up to that higher range where he really belongs as a guy that can make it all-star teams, can hopefully at some point get himself into like the MVP considerations. So you'd build, you know, it'd be 30 and then it'd be like 33, 35, 37 and so on. But with this being the very start of the season, and I like to talk about contract numbers a lot, one thing that I wanted to bring up is the whole idea of the numbers. You hear those numbers, $13 million. I know. To a normal person, that is a ridiculous amount of money. I know. I get it. But this fake outrage really, really drives me nuts. So what I'm talking about is when I'm talking to somebody that doesn't really follow basketball a whole ton or follow pro sports a whole ton, you bring up a contract number and they go, oh, that's terrible. They make so much money, blah, blah, blah. They need to make the price of the games less, blah, blah, blah. Okay, listen. The NBA is a business. The owners are billionaires because, and they bought into this business because it makes money. That's what businesses do. The NBA has league rules that they split that revenue 50-50, players to owners. If you don't want the players to make so much money, then it would all just go back to the owners, the horrible, evil billionaires, as Bernie Sanders would like to say. The thing is, most people are going to be outraged and freak out about that number, and then they're never going to think about it again unless somebody else brings it up. So when I'm talking about these numbers, just realize they're a percentage of the salary cap. The NBA makes a lot of money, so the players make a lot of money. These contracts are going to start to become enormous. Within the next 10 years, the salary cap is probably going to be close to $200 million because the league is making so much money. So you're going to see guys making $80 million a year. Get over it. There's people that make way more money than that. Starting other businesses. Look at Amazon. Look at all this other stuff. These people making really good money, amazing money, generational money, money that you can't even fathom, does not affect your day-to-day. So let's get into tonight's game. The Jazz are going to be playing against the Phoenix Suns. It sounds like both Bradley Beal and Devin Booker might be out. They both missed their last game. Bradley Beal has not played yet this season. I haven't seen a finalized injury report yet for this game. But if that's the case, they still have to go against Kevin Durant, who is still one of the top five players in the entire league, is still one of the most complete players ever. His ability to shoot from anywhere, his size, his ball handling ability, his defense, his rebounding. I mean, he is still one of the greatest players ever. The Jazz may be the best equipped team, though, as far as defending him goes. You throw Lowry on him, now he's got to deal with a guy that's 7'1". You could put Talen Horton Tucker on him, who has a 7'1" wingspan. Even though he's only 6'5", has that big body that'll make it to where Kevin can't get to the spots he needs to be. This may actually be a really good matchup for the Jazz, especially with Bradley Beal and Devin Booker not playing. Now, you add those two guys into it, it makes it a lot more difficult. One thing that I'm going to find very interesting to watch is Walker Kessler going up against Jusuf Nurkić. Walker, one of the big things for Walker this summer was for him to add strength and add some weight. Now, it sounds like he's added about 10 pounds. He says he's gotten stronger, but I've kind of seen him be timid these first couple games. Jusuf Nurkić, if you're timid, is going to run you over. He is 7 feet tall. He's listed at 290. I wouldn't be surprised if he's closer to like 315, 320. And he is not afraid to use it. So it'll be really interesting to see if Walker can stand his ground and, you know, do well in this matchup. One thing from this last game that I think needs to happen is Jazz need to get Ochai Agbaji more time on the floor. He only played 12 minutes in the last game. And Ochai is a good three-point shooter. He can drive, he can dunk, brings a lot of athleticism to the floor, and is a pretty good defender. That's one thing I'm looking for in this next game is, are they going to find ways to get Ochai more involved? But this Jazz team right now has a 10-man rotation. They have a bunch of guards that they're trying to find time for. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get guys the minutes that they deserve when you're trying to put these rotations together, because you're not only trying to get certain guys on the floor, but you need to make sure that it works. You can't just be like, oh, I need to find more minutes for this guy, and this guy. We'll put them out on the floor right now. You do that, you may be too small. You may be too slow. You may not have enough shooting. You know, maybe those guys just don't have good chemistry at all together. You know, that's why Will Hardy talked about building the starting lineup the way he did. You know, Talen Horton-Tucker is a starting point guard, but Will Hardy said that's not because he's the best point guard. You know, he's done very well and he looks good, but he pairs the best with Jordan Clarkson on the floor. And, you know, Jordan Clarkson is the starting shooting guard, so you're going to play those guys together. Kelly Olynyk and Walker Kessler have not shared the floor, I don't think at all, but if they have, it's been very, very little so far, because the two just don't pair that well together on the floor, which means that, you know, one of them is going to suffer for minutes. And so far, it's been Walker Kessler that's been getting less minutes than what he would normally get. So it's definitely a challenge for coaches to figure out exactly how to put these rotations together, who fits with each other. You know, in the first game and during the preseason, the Jazz were trying this lineup where they would throw out Walker Kessler with four guards. It'd be like Walker Kessler, Chris Dunn, Keontae George, Colin Sexton, and Talen Horton-Tucker or Ochai Agbaji. And it just never really worked the way that they wanted it to. And so in the next game, they scrapped it. They got rid of that idea. It just was not working. But you got to commend the coaching staff for at least trying something different. They went, hey, we have this very unique roster. We have a lot of bigs. We have a lot of guards. We really don't have wings. How can we get guys on the floor that deserve time on the court? And so I would expect them to try even more variations of the rotation, try different guys together. And so as you're watching games, especially throughout these first 20 games, there's going to be lineups that they're going to throw out there that you have never seen before. And it's basically the coaching staff going, okay, can these guys work together? You know, what does this group look like for the next 4 minutes? You know, and maybe it looks good. So maybe in the second half, they try it again. Maybe it looks awful and they go, okay, you know what? That's probably just not going to work. We'll have to try something else. But anyway, Jazz basketball is back. I am extremely excited to see the team back on the court. It's been a lot of fun watching these games. This is a very exciting and very interesting team. Like I said, they play three bigs at a time. Their small forward is 7'1". They have a bunch of guards, guys that really deserve to be in the NBA. And the Jazz have the, and Will Hardy has the very hard task of trying to figure out how to get all these guys minutes and make them all fit on the court. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Again, the Jazz play tonight against the Suns. But if you have the ability to, tune in. You can watch on League Pass. The Jazz started Jazz Plus, which is only available in certain areas. It's expanding, but it's, you know, Utah, I think Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, that area, you can get Jazz Plus to watch these games. I watch games on League Pass. There's also, or Well, actually, there's no longer local TV because they moved it to Jazz Plus. But anyway, oh, also the Zone Sports, the Sports Network. There's an app you can get for your phone. Just look up like the Zone Sports Network or KSL Zone. I can't remember exactly what it's called right now. But David Locke and Ron Boone do the radio broadcast for every single game. So if you can't watch, you know, you can put the audio on and listen. David Locke does an amazing job of describing exactly what's happening on the floor, so you feel like you're watching the game. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz.